O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The gospel is so stunning to me. It's meant to be stunning. It is stunning. And again, whenever I find a Christian who's just sort of shuffling their way emotionally through life, I know they don't understand the gospel. I find a Christian who's just working through issues for 30 years and they never quite get through the issue. They just keep acting the same way. I realize they don't understand the gospel. It's a never-ending, remarkable transformation because Jesus came to set us free from the reign of sin, not to make friends with that in our lives, He came to give us victory. He came conquering and to conquer. Jesus came to set us free from the sense of guilt and shame and condemnation. It breaks his heart when he watches us just walk through life forever dealing with guilt, forever listening to the conversations of the enemy. You have to remember when this word that's written here, tetelestai, it carries several meanings. It can be the word perfect, can mean the word completed, accomplished. Most of the time when the Bible is translated, it's finished, it's all that. And Jesus meant it when he said that. He said, it's finished. Like, what's finished? You see, Adam and Adam's fallen race, the Adamic era, fallen humanity, wasn't just taken care of 2,000 years ago at the cross. It actually happened mystically with a predetermined act by God before Adam ever sinned. In Revelation 13:8, it says, Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before Adam and Eve ever fell, God anticipated that and had already concluded that the only solution to fallen humanity was not renovation, but was death and resurrection. That the Adamic era, the Adamic race had to die. But he didn't want them to die and lose them. How can they die and then not lose them? But that fallen man, that guilty person had to die. But how do you do that without losing them? And so Jesus, God said, here's what we'll do. We'll become them. This is the genius of the gospel. We'll become human. We'll do the whole human experience. From infancy, we'll gather all of them into us and we'll become them. We'll take on their humanity and in their name and on their behalf, we'll die as them and they'll die and be buried. We'll step into the locker of the grave and we'll come out with a resurrected new creation. But you have to understand that what happened 2,000 years ago at Calvary was just the conclusion of a predetermined act before Adam and Eve ever fell. And so in God's mind, Adam was forgiven before he ever sinned. At the cross, in Colossians, sometimes when we say these things, I know people will think, that is so profound. It is really not so profound at all. It's just so simple. It is so simple, it's maddening. But we don't think like God. God was controlled by timeline, what we are. He existed before time. Of course, he can come up with a solution before the problem ever existed. But from Colossians 2, it says, verse 13, and when we were dead in our transgressions and the uncircumcision of our flesh, in other words, we were still the old fallen Adam, the old fallen race, he made you alive together with Jesus, resurrection, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Now, is that just written to Paul and his friends? Or is this for all of us? Having forgiven us, plural, all, our transgressions. So at the cross, ever created, all your sins were already forgiven. That predetermined act came to conclusion in time and space 2,000 years ago, but when you were born into this world, he's been accepted in the beloved. I just need you to believe and accept the acceptance. He did it all? Yes. So I don't have to spend time trying to work through being unforgiven or even trying to forgive myself. Am I a better judge than God? I've already been forgiven. At the cross, every one of your sins were future. He anticipated everything that you were ever going to do and get wrong. And you're already forgiven. So when Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. You don't have to work through that. You can let it go. It's been forgiven. And the word forgiveness means to put away. So we have to, in faith, come into agreement with him about that, don't we? And not listen to the liar who wants to have a conversation with us about what he says he doesn't remember anymore. If he doesn't remember my sins, then who are we to remember our sins? If he's cast them as far as the east from the west, thrown them into the bottom of the sea. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said when somebody asked her if she ever struggled with guilt about sins committed. She said, no. He said he cast my sins to the bottom of the sea, and I put up a sign that said, no fishing allowed. It's finished, he said. It's finished. Be finished with it. Or these issues, this sin in my life, the sin of what? Greed, lust, fear, anger, pride, criticalness, complaining, gossip, whatever. He said, it's finished. He came to put an end to sin's reign and an end to sin consciousness. He came to put an end to condemnation and an end to sin's power. He says, it's finished. Stop trying to work through it. Stop trying to make progress. The law, the spirit of life in Christ has already set you free from that law of sin and death. Believe. It's finished. See, I think part of the problem is with Christianity is that we'll hear those words, which is the most important word spoken in history. Tetelestai. What we've done is perfect. Father, Holy Spirit, it's finished. The fall's finished. Man's condemnation is finished. The rule of sin is finished. The enemy's finished. And everything that we believe, everything about Christianity must start where Jesus said, finished. Most Christians are always trying to fight towards something, get somewhere. The place where I'm forgiven. I'm get to the place where I have victory. He says, you started there. You start where he said it's finished. That's just a significant thing. It's very Narnia-ish. It's very magical. That's why it requires childlike faith. Don't make it more complicated than it is. Just dare to believe. And then start skipping your way through life with hind's feet on high places, which are what are yours in Christ. You've been seated in heavenly places in Jesus. You know why I know you're there? Because he is. And you're in union with him. His humanity is your humanity. And you have hind's feet for those high places. You can live in that reality. But you can't if you're always being pulled down to fallen earth stuff. Aren't you glad he says he's not counting? And if you're still counting your sins, that means you're still living under the law. And that's why grace is so powerful. It unbends us. It sets us free from counting. It sets us free from counting our sins. It sets us free from counting on our independent self. Because independent self was crucified. I'm now an individual self in union with him, but now I'm trusting him. Grace unbends me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.